The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Starking different, like stark.
It's a new word.
I think just stark. Yeah,
we're starking.
It does
a
seem like it should have
word.
An ing on the
right,
end of it, though.
Right.
It's a starking difference.
I think know.
If that had been the norm, then right. What would you be doing right now?
yo, what's up? It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and we are here. Ahmed Farid is here in all his glory, red sweatshirt and all, looking good. Right, a starking difference from his red pants. They don't. I'd like to actually see them together. Maybe one day we just go all red,
like jumpsuit
Red
style.
Riding Hood here. Yeah. Just do jump in on that. But what's up, everybody? Hope everybody's good. Wednesday, April 17th. We are 8 days away from the NFL draft. You know it's going to be more draft talk here today. Linebacker, safeties. I'm here with my expert host mm-hmm. and my expert evaluator, watcher of mm-hmm. draft guys, guy Ahmed Farid,
novice film watcher, dude. We're going to look at these players, and we'll see if we have any starking differences. What we think and what the general draft community thinks on these guys. So the last two positions we've gotten here, I can't believe it. You've looked at a lot of dudes.
I'm done.
You're done looking at dudes.
It's three notebooks. not every page is draft guys here because some of it's scribble or stuff we do on here. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, we're done. I feel good. It's like just buttoning up little guys that I heard about this guy, late mid-round. I haven't really dug in to watch that. But, like, for the meat and potatoes part of the draft, first few rounds, the guys we're really going to talk about, yeah, I'm in a good spot. And, it's a good – I feel relieved. I have, like, 48 hours of relief until, hey, we need a mock draft by Monday. Can you get that done? And now I got to get into that mode.
And then we need you to rank the top 40 quarterbacks currently in the NFL,
right,
including these rookies we've never seen before.
Exactly.
So we always have you ranking people. That's what we like to do.
Yep.
We just get you in your barn and rank people. Three notebooks. I have been telling you for years that you got to go digital.
I know.
And I know you get a lot out of actually writing it with your hand and pen, but you can do that on an iPad now.
I actually had a coach in the NFL who tried to sell me on it about 4 weeks ago.
Oh.
Right. Who was like showing me their iPad, how they write in it, the notes, all of that, right? And I was like, oh, man. I was like, I think I brought up your name. I was like, my buddy, my co-host, has been telling me this. And, like, my kids, one of them has, the iPad with the little pencil on it.
Yep.
I do. I got to do it.
Well,
there is – I am big into the writing.
I think
cements it in my brain, right, as far as, like, typing. I'm not a seamless – I can type without thinking a little bit to where I feel like it wouldn't stick because I'd be like, where's the H-E-R? Like, you know what I mean? And I'd be like, well, what was my thought? I'd forget, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the writing does really come in handy that way.
Because I've used Microsoft OneNote, not to be but they are a sponsor for us in the NFL and our football night in America. And I separate it all by position and by names. And so I just, novice film watcher guy, when you say a name, I click on the name, boom, all my information is there.
That would be much easier than me trying to flip through pages going, wait, I didn't do this one alphabetical order. I don't know where he is.
Although it is kind of like a song and dance, like an art that we have now. When I see you flipping furiously, trying to find a guy, I'm like, all right, I'm going to give a little background information on this
you're
player.
You're great at it. It actually does. You give me some filler time. I started off being like alphabetical order.
Yeah.
But then like every now and then, you'll get to the alphabetical order thing and it's like, wait, the top two, three guys at the position are all at the top. And I'm like, I don't want to start with the top guys, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to sometimes get a gauge of like what everybody looks like a little and then go, oh, top guys, whoa, they are top. Or whoa, they're not that much different than these guys that everybody's saying is a third rounder, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I start to juggle it and then it's all over. And that's where I am actually in the phase of the notebook right now.
Well, luckily with these two positions, there are no top guys. best safeties. No, that's not true. There are top guys. There has to be. It's a function of how you do a list and a ranking. But there are no projected first-round safeties. There are no projected first-round linebackers as well.
Technically, yes.
Technically, although that's where we're going to get into a little difference here with the safeties. So we'll do linebackers in a bit, but let's go through safeties. And what we'll do for linebackers, we're going to just go higher or lower. There, if you watched our – what was it? What did we do this with?
That was last Wednesday.
Running backs.
Right, running backs.
With the running backs, this is where they're projected.
Yeah.
Chris thinks they may be better than this, worse than this, and that's where we'll go with the linebackers. Safeties, we'll do that. But also, you do have a top two
For your safeties. I think there's only – in the safety conversation, I think there's only, like, legit two guys that go in the top 40, right? There's only two that I think are even in that conversation of, like, hey, we would take them in the top 40. After that, you know, then it's like, oh, I don't know where the next one goes. Maybe late second, somewhere in there, right? Maybe a team has a specific need, at, you know, again, the safety position, which is different than how you and I grew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more, hey, system, what, you know, type of defense are we calling for this situation? There's more situational need at safety now compared to the old days, right? The old days, it was like, we want Ronnie Lott at every safety position.
Yes.
Now, you know, some teams are like, wait, we don't want any Ronnie Lott. He doesn't cover well enough. What, you know what I mean? So it is a little different there, and it's actually cool. It's been one of the evolving things of the NFL.
These two positions, safety and linebacker, have evolved. They were the neck roll positions for the longest time.
Meatheads.
You saw a ton of neck rolls.
Right. Neck rolls, absurdly big shoulder pads, right? Where you're like, what? Do you really need shoulder pads that big? Like, are you kidding me? Right? But, yeah, this was traditionally – thumper. These were thumpers, right? Guys that we knew, hey, they can run, but that's not their calling card. Hitting, squaring people up, taking on blockers, right? Taking on fullbacks, tackling Emmitt Smith in the hole. That was like what they were there to do. But with, you know, the offenses being spread out, the running quarterback, tight ends becoming more athletic, the invention of the slot receiver. Yeah. Oh, damn. Now we have our thumping 260-pound middle linebacker covering Wes Welker on an option route. Oh, shit. We're screwed, right? So that's what's made everything change at that position, at both of these positions. It really is kind of the same conversation. You know, old safeties are now linebackers. Linebackers are now like he's an edge guy, defensive end, outside linebacker type of guy, right?
Not the film watcher guy. When you look at these safeties, too, they're playing all over. Sometimes they're in the slot. Sometimes they're playing linebacker.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes
they're
playing free safety.
Strong
safety every once in a while, too. And so, which I think is the way that the league is going. I mean, you look at baseball. I watch baseball all the time. And the defensive positions in baseball used to be, you're our third baseman.
Yeah.
You're our second baseman.
Right.
Now, all these teams have players that are like, you play third, you play second. Sometimes you play the outfield. And I feel like that's the philosophy defensively, too, in the NFL right now. And why wouldn't it be, right? It gives you just so much. There are so many injuries that you need that positional flexibility.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you look at your own football team, right? That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Your team, the Lions, right? They got that guy that's like, what's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, right? Is he a corner? Is he a safety? I don't know. They play base defense. He's at corner. If there's three linebackers in, four defensive linemen, he plays safety, right? Yep. That's what he is.
Brian Branch, right? Slot, safety.
Right, slot, safety, right? Right? Oh, wait, but this time we want more coverage slot guy in the game. Oh, Brian Branch, get in the slot, cover nickel. Hey, next play, damn, the 49ers brought in an extra tight end. We need the nickel guy to be a little bit better tackling and running and maybe take on like a fullback or whatever. Hey, CJ Gardner-Johnson, you go to the nickel position, right? So that's where the game has evolved. Or maybe both of them are down there. And maybe it's like, hey, Brian Branch, you got kind of the coverage part of the nickel thing. And now we're in big dime and we're in dime. And hey, CJ Gardner-Johnson, you get down there to be kind of like a linebacker, but also, hey, he's fast in space and do all that too, right? So that's the thing that is going on in the NFL. And between slot receivers, running backs out of the backfield, and the way the tight ends are, teams and the quarterbacks running, teams realized they needed to get a little more athletic at linebacker in that safety spot.
So you have a top two this year in safety. Before
Clearly,
we get to that, let's go to your top five last year. So you're really slacking off compared to Chris last year. You did five last year, and here's who we saw. Quan Martin from Illinois was your number one, and then Sidney Brown. You had a couple Illinois. You had Illinois love in your safety department
last year.
Brian Branch, you had as number three. Christopher Smith, and then Jay Ward. I feel like, you know, I'm biased. I loved Brian Branch last year.
He was awesome.
He looked really good.
Right.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, it's actually a pretty damn good class with like guys like Christopher Smith and Jay Ward. We'll see where they go. This will be a big year for them. They didn't really get to do a ton last year. But those top three, I think, you know, showed they belong for sure. I'm a big fan of Jartavius Martin. You know that and what he is in the Commanders. Sidney Brown, when he got in for the Eagles, was damn good. And Brian Branch ended up stealing the show, as we know. Because Brian Branch became the one of the top nickels in football, period. Right? Our problem with Brian Branch was a little bit of like, what is he? Is he a corner? I don't think he's fast enough to be outside and play corner, right? Ooh, he's not terribly big. Right, he's not. He wasn't like a wimp. He was willing to mix it up and tackle. But you were like, wow, I don't know if he's, you know, quite physical and strong enough there. But man, when receivers make cuts and cut this way or that way, his hips and his feet are phenomenal. And he showed that one, he's I think a better tackler maybe than I even gave him credit for. And two, his ability to stick his foot in the ground, turn his hips against, you know, the jitterbug type of receiver. He's special in that department. Yeah. So yeah, you got something there.
So that's a good player to end off on as we go into this year's rankings, because your top two will have two players that other people may not even have on their board in top safeties because they don't call them safeties.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. So
I think that's changing with especially this first guy.
Ooh, okay. All right. So top two safeties. Your number one safety in the 2024 draft class is
Cooper DeJean.
What?
Yes.
He's
right.
A corner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you're starting to see, right? I know we were texting a little last night. You're starting to hear, you know, everybody go, wait, he's a safety. Now, some people are still trying to hold on to the pipe dream of, like, I've said he's the number one corner for, you know, 10 months, and now I've heard from everybody he's not a corner. So I still think he could be a number one corner, but he's probably going to get drafted at safety, right? You're hearing that
we've
stuff?
We've re-looked at the
right.
tape.
We've re-looked at the tape. I've seen it 800 times, but now unnamed, really good coach told me I'm crazy, and now I see it differently. See it differently. I do. Cooper DeJean, certainly worthy of a end of the first round type of draft spot, right? Definitely. I mean, he's that you talk about. We always talk about elite traits, athlete, all that. Yes. Now, getting into the corner position, let me just break that down for a second and why he's not a corner. You know, I know that, hey, straight line speed's really good. Physicality is really good. Those are safety things, though. That's not corner things. I think when you break him down a little bit at the corner position, right, the movements are different. It's not just about straight speed. We know we want that, right? You always hear me. We know we want 4.3 or faster. Those are the elite corners.
Yep.
But within doing that too, you got to be able to like move and turn your hips. And you could see there, even that was not that impressive of a short area of movement. He's got great hands. If he catches the ball's around him, he's going to catch it. You know, and of course has ability to do some things after the catch as well. But within playing the positions he's playing or played in college football, right? Corner is a different skill set from hips and feet and how you have to run that way, right? And where I would get into it a little bit where, let's just say Quinyon Mitchell, right?
Uh-huh.
Top corner in the draft. He can be, you know, in all these weird positions, bodies turn this way. Oh, wait, the guy cut the other way. I can turn my hips and, like, you're like, oh, man, he's screwed. And then you're like, whoa, I mean, his hips are awesome. And he regained top speed in, like, a half a step, and he's gaining ground on this guy, right? Cooper DeJean is not that guy. Cooper DeJean, when that happens, is like, oh, no, and it's a bunch of steps, and he either tries to hold the guy or he, oh, no, the guy flipped me around. Hold on, I got to redirect and get straight, and now I take off, right? And that's why I say he's made for safety. His best plays when you watch him on film are all safety-ish type of plays. One, he's physical. He tackles, takes on blocks, right? He is fast straight away, so when he pursues ball carriers, blitzes off the end of the line of scrimmage like a safety, running away, boom, he gets him, right? Oh, I'm outside. I'm playing zone, right? Again, where I'd like to say context clues, if he was the top corner in the draft, I would have played man-to-man coverage, right? But more times than not, he's sitting back. Oh, there's a toss. There's a run my way. He's very, wait, I'm coming downhill, straight line. I'm going to take my gap. I'll take the blocker on, or I'll take away the edge and make the running back come back inside, or I'll just make the plain old fucking tackle, right? Right? So that's safety stuff to me, and that's where he thrives, and that's where he's really good. But flipped around, turned around, oh, no, wait, I got to turn and run with this guy? That's not his strength. So he's more of a straight line athlete that way. And that's why when we broke down corners, I said he's more Eric Weddle than he is top tier corner.
Yeah.
But really good football player, really instinctive. And I think he's got, that's what another reason I'd say he's made for safety. Read the quarterback. He's looking this way. I've watched film all week, right? I don't have to turn my hips and do all this. I can just, he's going to throw over there. I'm going to run, and I'm going to undercut that guy and intercept the football, right? That's the movements he is special at, and that's where I think, end of the first round is where we see Cooper DeJean.
So after your cornerback rankings, and he was not on there,
yeah.
People are going to be like, why do you hate Cooper DeJean so much? And now you can say he's number one at the position in my eyes.
Exactly.
What position is that?
Exactly.
Safety,
right.
Is just the right position.
Exactly.
It was so hard to be a Iowa defensive player last year because their offense was so bad. I was looking at the amount of plays that he played in some games versus Penn State.
Yeah.
93 snaps for Cooper DeJean. That is insane. We just talked about Chris Jenkins last week for Michigan.
Right.
Played 40 at most throughout the year. They just had such a rotation. Makes life so much easier. Versus Purdue, 84 plays.
That's insane.
Versus Wisconsin, 79 plays.
Yeah.
It was like up and down.
Their offense was three and out.
That's
what it was.
And punt.
Right? Right? And I know you had the privilege of covering some of those exciting football games this year.
So Cooper DeJean, just to tell you, he turned 21 years old in February. So still young.
Very.
He was such a great athlete, obviously, in high school. DB and quarterback, threw for 3,400 yards. His senior year with 35 passing touchdowns, had 1,200 rush yards. Now, this is Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but I'm sure there's some good players in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we have some – do we have basketball highlights? We got Nicole back there. Hello. Welcome back, Nicole. We got Nicole pushing the buttons. Here's Cooper DeJean dunking.
White men can jump in this video, okay?
I mean, this is making, huge news in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I'm sure.
He's an explosive, strong athlete. He's just not made to be a corner. Mm-hmm. Right? I would even say, look at his build, the way he is.
I was just going to say that.
It's safety-ish. That's not the way corners are usually not quite that thick and heavy-jointed the way he is. Right? So that's, again, where I just think he's really got a chance to be, special in that department.
Yeah.
And, within that, he played quarterback. He's played sports. Again, I think he's going to have great feel playing free safety in the back end. Great range from sideline to sideline. Great feel for, I've watched this on film. I'm going to go, like I said, take a chance here and then get a pick. Pick six. Do that, right? We're going to bring in another safety here and go three safeties. Can you go down at nickel, right? I don't think you're going to want him covering like man-to-man, the jitterbug type of receivers we talk about, but playing zone, and if it's more of a, nickel, big nickel, we need somebody that's strong because, it's the 49ers, right? And we want to – Kittle might go past the football and they might spread us out, so we need a little talent there, but, they might condense it and then run the ball off the edge with McCaffrey, and we got to have a guy that can really tackle down there and do that, right? So that's where the beauty of Cooper DeJean, really lies, and, just be interesting to see who takes him there at the end of the first round.
I take back my slander of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, because he did go to high school in Iowa, so he was right there in Iowa. Didn't get a whole lot of recruiting invites, which is crazy. He was second all-time in Iowa high school basketball history in points. T.J. Hockenson, number one.
Yes.
Cooper DeJean, number two. And
right.
Then Harrison Barnes, former Warrior for current Sacramento King.
He's three?
He's three.
The guy in the NBA is three?
I think he went to North Carolina.
North Carolina. That's exactly right.
Not as good as Cooper DeJean. So he has a fallback plan. If this defensive back and safety thing does not work out for Cooper, who knows? Maybe the Detroit Pistons could definitely use a guy.
He's a really good football player, good athlete, like we said, strong, right? More of a straight liner, right? You could see he read and reacts and knows and evaluates plays really well, but doesn't have the movement skills to play cornerback position in the NFL, at least not on a consistent basis. And then you get into, that end of the first round, where does he go, right?
So here we go. That's a good question.
Right?
Great segue. JD's burner account. How do you value Cooper DeJean as a player? How high can you take safety? If a team views him as a Seattle scheme type of corner, does his draft value go up or down? So, draft value for a guy like Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, I mean, he's. I don't even think what you want really even for Seattle scheme, right? I still think it's still not enough in the coverage department, even in that area. Could he get it done? To a degree, yes. But no, I think more or less is what we've kind of said here so far to this point is kind of how you evaluate him. You know, and that's what he is. Again, he is that straight line. Oh, the run's coming here. If you even watch him, I don't know how much you watched of him, open field tackling, he's not great at that.
Right.
Because, again, his hips and all of that are not that good. If he just sees the guy in the hole and he flies in there and just, hey, shoot your gun and fly in there and, you know, fly at his legs, he's great that way. But when it comes to, like, oh, no, I'm in the open field and I got to break down and do that guy, he does not have those type of hips there. He is, again, I think, made to be that guy at the safety position. And, yeah, I think it's, you know, between 25 and 40, I guess is what I would say there.
You would not be shocked if he's a first rounder.
I would not. Like, Green Bay has a need at safety, or, you know, maybe not in as much anymore, Xavier McKinney, right? But again, you know, that could be a team I look at, okay? Tampa, I don't think that's happening. Arizona, that's not happening. Buffalo does have a need for safety, right? They've tried to get a few guys there to kind of fill the void of no Micah Hyde and no more Jordan Poyer. But, you know, are they going to waste a first-round pick on that? And they did get some value veteran guys to maybe fill the void so they're not desperate, right? So does that happen? I don't know about that. A lot of people I see with mock drafts have them going to the Ravens at 30, right? But I think that was all through the prism of corner. The one thing the Ravens don't need is safeties. They have arguably two of the 10 best safeties in the game. I mean, Hamilton's one of the best, we know, and freaking Marcus Williams is damn good free safety on the back end. So I'm not sure about that. 49ers? There is a need for safety a little there. They do got Hufanga coming back, being healthy, right? So I guess my thing is, and when I get to the end of the first round, I just go, ooh, who's actually going to pull the trigger for him? I don't know if there's a team that I look at that just go, ooh, there's a desperate need at the safety position there, and that makes sense. So, yeah that's where I say 25 to 40, but no later than the early second round.
Whoever does pull the trigger
for
Cooper DeJean will get your number one safety in this year's draft class.
Yeah.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Your number two safety in your top two.
Right.
You're also your bottom ranked safety.
I'm putting myself out there.
Your number two ranked safety is also a player that many people think is a corner.
Yeah.
And one, Devin McCourty, when he was on this podcast a couple weeks ago, really liked this guy.
Yeah.
Too. Your number two safety is?
Ennis Rakestraw, Missouri, right? A lot of the same conversations. In fact, this is where... Again, we talk about shapes and sizes and preference and all that, right? Here's a guy that's got pretty good hips, right? Hips are not the problem. This is the one where you go, no, he can't run fast enough straight away and accelerate like a corner needs to do. Because if he's wrong or gets beat, he's beat. It's over, right? Where I talk about Cooper DeJean, like if he had to just like turn and run straight away, you're like, oh, that's a guy got off the line of scrimmage, right? Okay, now he's got to turn and run. He could impress you with stuff like that, right? Where this guy, hey, you would be impressed with some of the quick, like, oh, wow, he changed direction. He stick his foot in the ground. That's great. Oh, wait, he got beat up field vertically? Oh, he's screwed. It's a touchdown. It's gone. See you later, right? So he might be a little bit more of a coverage Brian Branches, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson type of safety. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right? Where it's like, hey, he tackles, he brings it, right? I mean, he's fun to watch in that department. He has no regard for his body, and I love that about him, right? But, yeah, when we talk about corners, I always go, and again, we're in media and we're trying to simplify here, I'm going with, like, true cover corners. That's what I tried to go to. This guy, to me, is not a true cover corner. Nobody in football is going to go, I'm okay with him being outside on versus Jamar Chase on Thursday. 7 man-to-man. Nobody. If you are, you will be fired by the end of the year, right? But inside, against a Hockenson or some of these tight ends or some of the quicker, like, receivers, like an Amon-Ra St. Brown, who might work the underneath part, that stuff he's going to be really good, let alone if he is in a traditional safety spot, right? He's going to be good coming downhill, making tackles, and, you know, for a traditional safety, 4.51, 4.54 is fast enough, right? Mm-hmm. You're not doing the same thing. So that's where I look at it. But, man, another guy with, what I would say, some elite twitch, elite quickness, and then elite physical violent reactions off of that. That's what you love about Enos Rakestraw. And, like, I don't think McCourty trusted him in coverage either like I did. But I think it's, again, finding that spot, safety nickel type of hybrid that we know is very popular in the NFL. I think he'll fit there really well.
I think we have his octagon. Yeah. Show some of his measurables here. He was wide for 1,500 snaps. He was a slot corner for 400. So that's what he did in college. And it's an unusual, because he doesn't have, even though he brings it, he plays with aggression for sure. He kind of has that Chris Sims like ability to, you know, like get you pumped up after he makes a play.
You're energy. You don't question whether he loves football or not, right? That's like one that's like, again, those are things you look at and you go, oh. And again, that's how Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was when he was coming out.
So the weight would be concerning to me. 14th percentile. Now, this is even compared to other defensive backs, right? Cornerbacks. Ooh, yeah. So he's small for a safety.
He's slender. He's long and longish and slender, right? And you can see by looking at that octagon and
the man himself without a shirt,
right? Which, you know, square shoulders, slender, a little bit, you know, longer that way.
Yep.
It's a guy where, like, what did Brian Branch weigh last year? If you don't mind looking that up, Pete, while we're talking about this, right? Because it's, again, that's what I think we're talking about here, is that similar type of position. So, yeah. So
190. He had 190. 7 pounds on.
He's
S.
got 7 pounds and.
Probably similar height.
Same
height.
Similar height. Right.
Yeah, similar wingspan. So, yeah, similar dude.
To me, it's kind of the vision and version you kind of look at him for. Hey, we're in base defense, right? It's a team. They got two tight ends, one running back and two receivers. Hey, you play traditional safety here. And then, you know, as the ball's getting close to snap, we might roll you up close to the box, right? So now you can kind of be in there and get in the mix, right? Or, hey, we trust you covering a tight end. You're going to be okay there. That's cool. Get up there and cover the tight end man-to-man. That's good. So that's base defense. Hey, all right, now it's nickel. We're going to change. You know, does he stay at safety or do they move him down to that nickel depending on what it is there, the team they're playing and the down and distance and all of that? But I think generally that's what we're talking about. I don't think we're going to see life in the NFL where Enos Rakestraw is on the outside on the regular covering the top tier receivers in football.
An anonymous NFC regional scout agrees with you. He says, quote, you can mix and match him in coverages, but I think there will be some man matchups that are going to be tough for him.
Like he'll be great NFL.com. against Travis Kelce, right? Those I look at that and go, he's going to be good. Travis can't run from him. Travis's game is more about a little bit change of direction, slip and slide here and there, right? He'll be okay with that, right? But he gets with a speed burner in the slot who can really run straight away. Oh, no, Valdez Scantling's in the slot or whatever. I'd go, oh, my gosh, we better not play man-to-man right here because he's going to get toasted, right? That's what you worry about.
Just put on some weight. On some weight is what I would say to Ennis. I don't want you to get hurt out there. So he is shooting up draft boards right now. As recently as December, he was a round 6 pick. How about that?
Yeah.
And now he is projected. Look at that. No one even knew about him. Like, who is this guy?
Yep.
Missouri started to have a good year. They're like, maybe they got some good players there. So now he is mid-second. We're looking 42nd overall. And we're not doing this over, under, higher, lower for these guys.
No.
But do you think that's about right for
him? I think that's about right. I don't think there's any way he's a first-round pick, okay? But I think he's a guy that, like, almost like Devin said, right? Where like everybody's going to watch the film and go, man, I like this guy. I want him on my team. I just don't want a man-to-man against Justin Jefferson, right? Yeah. I don't want that. Yeah. But damn, he's going to bring us attitude, toughness, swagger. He's going to get in people's face, right? He's going to give energy to our locker room, all those type of things. That's where I like it. And yeah, I think it's somewhere really between 33 and 43 is where you see Rake Straw land somewhere in there.
And just 13 forced incompletions. I looked at all of those. I mean, they're the same things you say. They're nice. They're fun to look at here.
Right.
All in the middle of the field, kind of.
Yeah, right. That's his area, right? Yep. You know, a guy comes up to him and makes him breaks out. He kind of, you know, he makes a quick reaction. He puts his foot in the ground. He dives and he knocks it down right before the ball gets there, right? It's all that stuff. That's where he is. That's where he should live. And that's what he's made to do in the NFL.
Ennis the Menace.
Ennis the Menace. I heard Pete say that.
Strong. That will be his nickname.
If he does, you're right. He is definitely going to have that nickname, and we're going to make sure he does.
Ennis the Menace. So that way we know how to say his name, because if you don't say his name that way, it sounds like something else.
It definitely does.
In trouble right there.
It definitely does.
So those are your top two safeties.
Yes.
And we're closing the book on safety, but now we will look at the other safeties who you did look at and see if they are being projected around where they should be projected. And in fact, we're not even going to give you that option. Again, like last time, we're going to say where they're projected to be drafted.
Okay.
And you have to say they're going to go higher, as in, you know, better, taken earlier,
right,
or lower later.
Yeah, cool. Okay, I like it.
Tyler Newbin is the guy, Minnesota safety. This is the name that you hear oftentimes, like the best safety. If you do not call DeGene and Rakestraw a safety, this is the name you hear most often.
Exactly. The traditional version of it.
Had a bunch of interceptions, especially early. Had a couple against Nebraska in the season. We were watching that. He is a projected second-round pick. So we'll get to that. Tyler Newbin, Minnesota, 6'1", 22 years old, 200 pounds. What do you think of him?
Yeah, I mean, I like him again, right? We're not talking about a guy that I'm expecting to see, you know, early on in the draft here. But a little bit more of your safety through the traditional lens. Does everything pretty well, right? I think more or less, though, he's a guy that, you know, he's not going to overwhelm you with pure physical ability, right? He would worry me a little bit in the coverage aspect of what safeties are asked to do at times, right? He is most comfortable around the line of scrimmage, playing around the box, right? That, to me, is where he's good, is kind of like, hey, slipping blocks, you know, getting to the ball carrier, seeing a hole open up and getting involved and getting up there, you know, in the hole to make the tackle. He's a pretty good open field tackler. He's got very good instincts, as you can even see from this play here.
In zone especially.
He's got great
feel.
He knows what's coming. He knows where he's supposed to be. It's just not going to wow you with the pure, like, athletic ability, right? You're not going to go, oh my gosh, whoa, did he accelerate, or oh my gosh, did you see how quickly he flipped and turned his hips and ran to the sideline and knocked that go route out of the receiver's hand, right? That's not going to be wowing. It's not bad, but it's not wowing.
There's a really good play against Illinois. I was watching Luke Altmaier was looking left, kind of looking him off that way, and then turned towards the center of the field.
Yeah.
And Newbin was able to flip, and he was covering like the outside receiver, and then he goes and breaks up a pass in the middle of the field.
Like, the hips are good. They are good. It's just they're the pure physical explosion off of it's not what you want, right? And I think that's probably part of the reason he didn't run at the combine or do anything there. Because, you know, I think if you look at it, you go, if I had a guess, it'd be high 4.5s, probably 4.6-ish when you talk about it all together.
He got outrun on his tape a few times. Like, there was the Raging Cajuns game. It was like there was a guy that broke free running back.
And he couldn't run him out. Or there was a few where people get around the edge and you go, oh, he's going to run him down. And the guy gets around the corner on him and he doesn't, you know, doesn't take the right angle because he thinks he's going to run him down and he doesn't, right? You know, and that to me is where, like, hey, one of the things I wrote as I went down here, I just went, you know, I'm not going to trust him in coverage, right? Range is a free safety would concern me a little bit, right? It's not going to be great where you're going to be like, hey, we got two speed burners on the outside and he's playing free safety and we feel like he'll be able to read the quarterback and break on the ball if they both run go routes. I'd be like, I'm not sure if he's going to be great there, right? You want him around the box in some capacity. That's where he's best. He's comfortable, you know, moving around in the scrum, right? And for 199, he takes on blocks and navigates his body really well in those areas, right? He's tough. He's not afraid to mix it up, right? He is long, right? So even as a down safety and pass and stuff and zone, he's going to be a tough body to throw around. And you add that to the instincts, you know, I think that'll make his athletic ability look a little bit better than it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my assessment there. Where is his
So before we get to that,
real quick,
PFF says it agrees with basically what you just said.
Okay.
He would likely make the most plays in a system that consistently uses maybe two deep coverages, allowing him to play free, robber, box safety roles too for him.
Right.
You talked to him at the combine.
Awesome, dude.
Well, I want to hear him in his own words. Here's what he had to say to you and Mike.
A lot of the times we'll ask when a player knew that he was special, but we don't have to ask you. We already know. When you were eight, you won a game. A pass thrown to you was intercepted.
This is incredible.
You
tracked down
the defender.
How do you know this?
We know everything.
That's actually crazy. I was actually thinking about this.
Ripped the ball away from him
and
then took it all the way back for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you knew?
Honestly, I think that's when everybody else knew. I didn't know. I was just playing football for real. I was just having fun at that point. But, yeah, I don't know how you knew that. Yeah, against the Wheaton Rams.
And you, the running, you just took it right out, stripped him from behind, and said, "I'm running the other way."
Yeah, I didn't want to lose. That would have been the game winning interception. Dude should have went down. And he kept running, so I just took it from him.
That's amazing.
And that's when we knew. How did you guys find that out?
Mike found that out. I think honestly, this is where like Matt Casey is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right. When we're in scenarios like that at the Super Bowl or the combine.
Yeah.
He finds all these little nuggets,
yeah.
right? And he puts them on a note card of just like little interesting things like that.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm pretty sure that was him.
He's trying to claim credit
for this,
too.
Maybe it would have been Pete. It could have been Pete. Pete is new to that part of the game, but
he took over. Yeah.
He took over for Matt Casey. He did a pretty good job. And maybe that was him that day. So it might have been.
Pete got excited, but it still might have been Matt.
But so Matt taught you, so way to go, Matt.
Exactly. So AFC scouting director anonymously saying to NFL.com, I think his speed is the only thing you kind of worry about. His tackling is okay, but can get better. He's very instinctive. He's a good player. He'll go in round two.
Mm.
So he is 40th overall is the line. Are you
40th?
Going higher, earlier, or lower later?
Low, low, low.
Good, not a difference maker necessarily.
No, good. I think he's a guy you're like, damn, I'm glad he's on our team, right? We'll figure it out. But I would agree, and I appreciate you supporting me there with the AFC scouting director. The speed is the only thing you worry about. When the speed is what you worry about and then they don't run the combine, you worry actually a little extra more. Because really, what you start to go is go – if he knew he was going to run 4.58, he probably would have ran, right? And then that's going to scare people in front offices. Going to be like, I don't even know if he would have ran that. He's probably a 4.6 guy.
So the next guy did run at the combine is in the 80th percentile for safeties. Javon Bullard for Georgia, 5'10.5", nearly 200 pounds, turns 22 years old in September. So this is a guy who played in 2022, mostly slot corner.
Yeah.
And then last year it was 3-1 free safety. So a position change for Javon Bullard. Your thoughts on the Georgia Bulldog?
Well, like every Georgia Bulldog, right, they're tough and they know how to play football. That's kind of the thing that always jumps out, right? They know the rules, you know, when they got to tackle or hit or take on a block, right? You never question that. Kirby Smart's got that type of culture down there, and you don't play unless you're tough down there in Georgia, right? So that's the first thing you know. I like his body. You know, you kind of alluded to it. He's built more like a corner. It's more like a nickel than it actually is a safety, okay? Right? I do like his legs. Got some thick legs, right? Has that. But I think the first thing is, and this is where it's a little weird, you know, I don't think the athlete itself is all that elite. I don't think the athlete you watch on film is conducive to what you saw the numbers at the combine. I think that would be the first thing I would argue right there, right? And I think that's probably part of the reason he got moved from nickel to free safety was because they were like, wait, he can't really turn and run with some of these guys like we would like, right? That would be the big problem. He's a little bit of a short strider, right? He doesn't really, never opens up. He doesn't have an extra gear. And yeah, if he gets caught flat-footed or takes one wrong step and somebody gets by him, I mean, it's gone. It's see you later. There's no makeup speed to talk about or any of that. So that's the problem there. The problem is, like, he's a willing physical tackler. He will do that, right? He takes a lot of bad angles because he thinks he's faster than he is or whatever, where you see a lot of missed tackles or misplays in that capacity. So it's like a little bit like the guy we just talked about in the fact that I don't trust him in coverage, right? Hmm. I think he's a little bit more of that nickel safety hybrid, right? But the coverage thing really concerns me. And, you know, even though he's a tough physical football player, right, I don't think he's like, oh, we're going to put him in the box and be in there as a strong safety, yeah, right? So I definitely was a little –
he's a tweener. You know,
he's a tweener. He's a tweener, and I'm not sure exactly where he would fit on an NFL defense.
Yeah, still struggling to find maybe a spot in 2022. He did have some highlight plays, knocked Marvin Harrison Jr. out of the college football playoff semifinal game, had two interceptions,
that's
a fumble
he'll
recovery.
Hit you if it's there. There's no doubt.
Versus TCU in the national championship game. He was the game's defensive MVP. But then, as you know, then they move him to free safety after all those accomplishments. And so NFL.com, Lance Zierlein says Georgia's provided the blueprint by playing him as a big nickel with run support, modest in man cover duties. NFL teams would be wise to follow suit here, perhaps.
I think so.
But he's not that big. So you mentioned his height is 11th percentile. He's got a heptagon. His weight is in the 18th percentile, wingspan in the 18th percentile. You see all those measurables are very close to the center of the heptagon,
yes,
which means
right,
they're in the lower percentile.
No, I you know, and again, it is, and it's not always the case, right? But it's one of those where you're like, I don't see 1.5, 1.10 on film. I don't. Nor do I see 4.47.
Yeah,
right? He would have been a guy I would have guessed again. I would have gone like 4.58 somewhere there, right? But either way, he good job by him. But yeah, that's to me where you gotta be a little picky here, right? You know, it is, you know, hips are just okay in coverage. You said it. He's a tweener. He is smart. He is pretty instinctive. He's just not a great overall athlete. And I think you got to pick the situations of where and when you're going to play him. That would be my big thing, right? Because he can't cover anybody. That's the problem, right? He'll tackle anybody, right? He's good in, I think, the big nickel, I got to stop the run type of situation, right? But, man, again, back to that, I get into, oh, yeah, I'd want him a nickel, but, damn, I hope they don't pass the ball because I don't want him to cover anybody. That's what bothers me. If it's zone, hey, he'll be okay. He'll see it, you know, he'll be able to evaluate it. And, again, if somebody comes in his area and it's like, oh, you're going to throw the ball, he will hit you and knock your chest off, right? That's what he will do. But at the same time, if he's at that area there and like, oh, no, you got to play man-to-man, and all of a sudden, uh-oh, Cooper Kupp got in the slot, and it's you against him, Cooper Kupp's going to be wide open for a bunch of 25-yard crossing routes. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that, right? And that's where, to me, again, yeah, there's some work to be done, and he's definitely a specialized nickel safety type of guy.
Projected round 2, 53rd overall in mock drafts. Are you going higher or lower?
I'm going lower there.
This drill has become taking everyone lower and later.
I know. Well, we might not have as many lower as today as we had, I think, you know, with the running backs there. Yeah.
Speaks to the position, though, because all these players are very close to each other, right?
Exactly.
They have other strengths and weaknesses, but as an overall prospect, they're all very close.
They are. And you know, I think with this, too, is you know, what's going to be interesting and what we'll see is, you know, some teams are going to go, wait, we need a traditional safety, and then we're going to go, and some are going to go, whoa, we need a guy that's, you know, more of that nickel-ish type of safety. We need one that can come in the box and be a real thumper in the run game. So it's what you're looking for on your team and what you already have that is going to be kind of the eye of the beauty of the beauty of the beholder, right?
Yeah,
is that what the
beauty of the beholder. Right. It's always the beholder, the beauty that they have and looking at these other players, something like that. Our next player, the beauty of our beholder, Jaden Hicks, Washington State. This was a player who's 6'2", a little taller, 211 pounds, 21 years old, was just a three-star recruit out of high school, started the last two seasons at Washington State. So when you looked at Jaden Hicks, he played mostly in the box last year, more free safety in 2022. So linebacker in the box, bigger guy.
Yeah, he's a traditional safety, right? I would say he's the first guy I would sit here to talk to you and go, no, this is traditional free safety, strong safety. We're never playing him at nickel, right? That's what he is, right? I think when you encompass both, I think he'd be kind of in the conversation for best traditional safety type of guy, right? I like his game all around, Jaden Hicks, right? You know, I said it, old school, you know, he's big, tall, he's long, right? He's got better legs than you think, right? When I first turned on the film, I was like, oh, he's a little skinny. But then, you know, you see a few angles and you go, oh, no, his legs got a little more there than I really would have thought, right? He's got pretty good hips, right, to be able to turn in coverage and, oh, I get flipped around. I got this guy. Oh, wait, I'm dropping to a zone. Oh, no, wait, the tight end crossed me this way. I got to turn and run and get with him, right? I found that stuff for the bigger type of safety. I was like, oh, it's kind of impressive, right? And then you see that he ran a 6.883 cone drill, and you go, well, okay, that's impressive too. I mean, that's kind of like elite receiver type of movement in the three-cone drill mm-hmm. when you talk about that. Flips the hips. He's impressive, right? Right? You know, one of the things I wrote is like his speed, he didn't run at the combine, but like, man, I mean, when I watched him and have to close on receivers or close on the ball in the air, I was kind of impressed in that department.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what he would run. I would have guessed probably high 4.5, maybe mid 4.5, somewhere in that range. But I think there's enough speed there with the loose hips and everything we're talking about and the length to where I go, I'm comfortable with him at free safety too. I think he's going to be okay in that department. Right. So there was a lot of things to like there. Good, loose, fluid athlete who you can definitely trust in the box to be an extra linebacker or whatever. That's where he's most comfortable, right? I think you probably saw the same thing.
So novice film watcher guy made some notes about Jaden Hicks out of Washington State.
Yep.
Look good versus the run. He's coming up to do damage.
He's coming
in
up
the
to
run
do damage.
Game.
That's right.
I thought he had pretty good instincts. Thought he had some pretty good speed to the sideline and some real standout plays versus the run. Now, his bad plays versus the run seem to just be over-aggressiveness mostly
right.
for him.
Coming down too fast, doesn't break down, guy
too
makes
excited.
A move, and now he's like, oh, and they go right by him, or he gets a hand on him and they go by, or he slips and falls and right trying to make an abrupt cut at the last second.
And he made some plays in the past game, too. I mean, he had a
That's
pick
what
six
I mean.
Against Colorado. Which looked good.
Uh-huh.
And then he picked off Michael Penix on a deep throw.
He
later
had some
on in the
other
year.
Plays, too, where the balls were completed on him. Where I would go, that was still a good play. Like, I was impressed with how he played the ball and closed on the ball and all of that, right? It wasn't, like, perfect every time. But there's no doubt, right, you know, between – one of the things I wrote down is, like, I was like, guys like this in today's NFL, sometimes they get asked to put on 10 pounds and they play middle linebacker. I mean, really, some of the Seattle schemes, they might look at him and go, we think he could play linebacker. I don't know, right? But either way, it's along those lines. Got a real nose for the football. That's the big thing. Like, where maybe we'd have talked about DeJean and Rakestraw being instinctive, you know, in a lot of ways, and DeJean especially in the pass game, like having a feel. This guy had a great feel for run game overall. You could tell he knew where he was supposed to fit as the play was developing. He was already seeing it coming. Takes on blocks really well, right? Good strength with bigger people blocking him to get off a block, you know, hold his ground a little bit there. Right, that's where, you know, I was really, really impressed, right? Really good read and react skills, right? He sees a play, there's no hesitation, and that, to your point, is why he misses tackles, because sometimes he's like, I see it, here I come, I'm a meathead, and then he overruns it or whatever else, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was a fan of this guy. I really was, and I think he's a really good traditional free safety, strong safety type that can kind of do both, and if he's got to get him in there as big nickel, big dime linebacker-ish, not on the receiver, but truly linebacker, I think teams are going to look at him there and go, he can do it.
It's funny. He's kind of a tweener in a good way, right? It gives him
multiple areas.
It's
a tweener
areas.
In another way. It's a tweener in the bigger safety way, right?
Yep. He gives
right?
you options.
He gives you options. It's not the cover safety tweener. It's the bigger, stronger safety tweener.
Yep.
And there's different tweeners at the position now. It's so specific to what you want.
Projected round two.
Yeah.
58th overall. Ooh. PFF calls him a tone-setting tackler.
Gosh.
58th overall.
Wow.
Still pretty high.
That, it is still pretty high.
Higher or lower later than that?
I feel like if it's right in that range, right? Ugh. You know, it's right
if
there.
If only you could say they got it right, but that's part of the rules of the game. You can't say that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Miss Lippy. I think that I would probably go lower here, too.
Yeah.
I think I would go lower, so, but I don't think
you
it'll
like
be
the
much.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be much. Like, if he got drafted at 56 or 58, I'd go, I get it. I like it.
Like,
I get it.
If he goes ahead of Bullard or Newbin, you will be like, that makes sense.
To me, it does. 100%. Yes. Right. But I still think, as a whole, and I haven't seen all of them, it feels like all of these guys are a little over drafted in mock drafts or where people think they're going to go, in my opinion. But we'll see where that goes. But I think that's close to the range. Okay. It's that late second, early third type of spot there.
So we're getting into the third round, guys, now. Projected third round pick out of Utah, the safety Cole Bishop, 6'2", so another taller guy, 206 pounds from Georgia, was a three-star recruit. Started 29 of the 36 games played in three seasons at Utah, team captain last year. That shows up on the tape immediately. He's just like pointing, directing people around. And so
everybody, they're going to love that.
Super comfortable as a leader. How about as a player on the field?
Well, there's some things that stand out.
Okay.
Right? Oof. I mean, you know me, right? I'm a little racist when it comes to football stuff, okay? I know I'm being silly, everybody. I'm just going, but, you know, I see white safety, and I'm like, I don't know, can he run? What's it going to be like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the first thing, and that's, honestly, it's the first thing you ask.
To be honest with you, I did not know he was white until you just said that, for whatever reason.
I love it.
I was just like, no, I'm looking at him. Yep, he is white.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, he is every bit as Cole Bishop white as you would think the Bishop guy should be, right? Yeah. But
I don't see color in safety, but whatever.
He's a phenomenal athlete, and he's got good legs, good muscle overall, right? You know, a little low cut, but damn, I mean, there's a lot to like here with this football player. And then you talk about, like, hips and coverage, right? Sticking his foot in the ground, driving on the ball, right? Oh, back pedal, okay. Oh, wait, I got to stick my foot in the ground on the back pedal and now come down and get involved in the run game. I mean, it's seamless there. It's really damn good, right? Now, I don't think the athlete is quite as good as the combine numbers.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay.
I look at the combine numbers first, and I was like, oh, they're man, this guy's going to. Well, so we have his nonagon here.
Right.
And look at that. Look at all the athletic traits here. It's like the 40-yard dash in the 84th percentile. Gets off the ball well. The 10-yard split was pretty good. Vertical jump, 86th percentile. And he's bigger, too. Height, 85th percentile. So you're like, man, a bigger guy who still runs fast. He's going to be a beast. On tape.
Small arms, low cut, as I said, right?
Third percentile in arm.
Pete's asking me, does arms matter? It does a little for a safety.
Yeah.
You know, safeties are a lot of times are in zone, and like, some of the best safeties and teams I played against is like, man, when the safety's long, it's like, damn, the field seems smaller, right?
Yeah.
That's where, and then, you know, just like we talk about with like DNs or tackles or anything like that. Right? Safeties, are a lot of times, they got to take on blocks. So their ability to kind of get their hands on people and get them off, that's where there is a little value in arm length for you know, safety in that position. It's not something you just want to totally disregard there, right? But, I'm with you. The athlete was good.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't think, like, watching it as novice film watcher guy, I was like, the tape doesn't show anything that he does particularly really well.
Nothing elite in one area of the game. Yeah. Right. I think that's probably very fair to say. Right, and again, I think this is a good athlete, but like when I hear 1.52 and the 10, I'm expecting like, whoa, this guy's going to have rockets up his ass running around the football field. You know, it's not quite to that capacity, right? It's 4.44, 4.45, 40. Again, he's fast on film, but if you would have asked me, I would have gone, it's 4.52, right? Somewhere that, right? You know, physicality. He's pretty good in that department. Again, it's not going to wow you, but he's not like, I'm not going to sit here and ever go, oh, he's afraid of contact or he doesn't want to mix it up there. He'll do all of that, right? He's not going to like knock your head off or do anything like that. He's very good in knowing, like you said, where he's supposed to be, where everybody's supposed to be, and he does his job, right? He doesn't chase things, right? When it's like, hey, wait, you could go make the tackle here, but your job is to not let this blocker have the edge, and you got to force him back inside. He shows that awareness to go, wait, I got to do my job and cut him inside for everybody else. I maybe could make the tackle, but if I don't, he's going to be gone for a touchdown, right? So that's where I like that. He does come down aggressive, right? There is no hesitation. You know, we talked about it. It's not going to be boom, wow, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he did it that way. The hips are pretty good as far as coverage and that is concerned. He's, to me, more of that free safety, right? Or, strong safety, big nickel type of player, right? Mm-hmm. He can do free safety, right? But I think, you know, he is best and most comfortable kind of in and around the box again. Yeah.
And,
right?
Which is interesting because he played more free safety this past year than he had in his first two seasons combined. And so it was an adjustment period, maybe a little out of position for him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he is the type of guy I look at between the size and the strength a little again, too, where I go, he's going to be that safety, like, big nickel type. Hey, this is a good tight end, right? We need a guy who can, you know, cover a little bit and got a little size and strength to take on a Mark Andrews. If he gives you, you know, the old wing push before he breaks out, he's going to be able to handle that and move with that guy. That, to me, is where he would fit, right? Plays tough. He's a strong, good athlete, right? There's some things you want some more of in each area, but it's still, you know, pretty damn good and certainly has starting safety caliber traits.
Projected third round pick. So we'll say middle of the third round. Are you going higher or lower later than mid-third round?
Mid-third round, huh?
Yeah.
So mid-third round, you're talking about 80s, somewhere in there. I'm going to go low. I mean, higher.
Higher.
He gets drafted before that.
So our first higher.
First higher.
He goes earlier than mid-third round.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be much more than that, but it's going to be higher. I would say it's you know, right before pick 80 or pick 80, somewhere in there that I would say we see him go.
We have put all of the running backs, all of the safeties in this little area of the draft, which does make sense.
I think that the third and fourth is where we start to see runs on this position, along with the linebacker position that we'll get to here in a little while.
All right, so the next player we're going to look at, Kalen Bullock, USC, also a projected third-round pick, 6'2", 188, 20 years old, so young. He's from Pasadena, California, so went to his hometown school there, played wide receiver in high school, started 32 of the 38 games in 3 years at USC, and this past year was first-team All-Pac-12. The credentials sound pretty good. How'd the tape look?
Hey, this is my mofo right here. You do? You too?
I was like, is it just the USC jersey? Because I like Marshawn Lloyd, too.
No,
am I biased towards this jersey?
This dude can play, Kalen Bullock. To me, it's like, you know, again, I'm always love that pleasant surprise guy, right? Where you don't know what to expect. I haven't heard much buzz about him. First thing is, I mean, he's long as hell. We're talking praying mantis type of guy. He looks like a receiver almost to a degree. I mean, if there's a negative, it's like, I'd wish his body was a little thicker. I wish his legs were a little thicker. He's 6'2". He's 188, right? Right? So that's where you go, I wish it was a little different in that department. Okay, so then when you see the guy that skinny, the first thing I go is, game, is he going to tackle? Is he going to hit?
Yeah. Right?
Yes, he is. Now, again, it's not like he's Ronnie Lott and going to do that. But there is no, like, fear of the player. Hmm. He will stick his head in there, shoulder in there, and mix it up no matter what. He plays safety in the way of, like, I'm the safety. I have to save the day, too. That's the other thing I like, too.
Yeah.
Right? Whether he can run people down if they break free, right? Or he just like, wait, I got to get this guy down. I'm the last line of defense. I'm going to get him down. I might look bad. I might get run over, right, and look kind of stupid, but he's going down, right? So that's – I thought he was – more than a willing tackler.
That's interesting, because I don't know exactly what games you're watching, but I did see somewhere he was more reluctant as a run stopper.
Man,
I saw, and I thought that was because I saw he's in the second percentile for weight,
right?
And so maybe I could have looked at the wrong person because I am the novice film watcher guy.
I don't think you got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Listen, like
I thought he was more reluctant at some.
Are there tapes of like if there are spots where you go, wait, he's coming down and there's a blocker there and he's going to square him up? No, he's not always going to do that, right? But that's not something I think he's going to be asked to do. That's where I wouldn't look at it and go, you know, that's going to be his job in the NFL. That's what he's going to do. This is total free safety, coverage safety type of guy, right?
Yeah.
He moves so well that you go, he could probably play corner in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because who else was saying that? It was, Lance Zierlein from NFL.com. If he runs well enough at the combine, which he did, he was in the 75th percentile for safeties, there might be a team more interested in his skill set as a corner than as a boom-bust safety.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wouldn't be shocked. He would be the type of guy that, like, a Seattle scheme would love him at corner, right? His hips are greasy good, right? His feet, his ability to, like, turn, put the foot in the ground, break on a ball. I mean, it's really fucking good, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I like it, right? I mean, he's got great feel. You could see the receiver history and how he catches the ball, plays the ball, whatever. I think his range is a free safety, sideline to sideline, because of his hips, and he's got pretty good long speed and all that. He's going to be a pain in the ass in that department, right? So that's where, you know, I really like him, let alone the ball skills themselves. I thought were really good. You know, again, another guy that, hey, there was a few plays where people caught the ball, but I went, damn, that was a good job making it competitive. That wasn't an easy spot he was in. And he made it competitive and dove or made him miss the ball, whatever, right? He is made to match up with the NFL tight end and that kind of guy. Or even a bigger receiver if they got to put him out there man-to-man. Right? Like a T. Higgins of the world. Somebody that you know may not blow by him or anything, but you go, hey, his length will be annoying for a guy like that. Yep. Yeah, I think that's where he works, right?
Like in coverage, he did. It's just like it kind of pops. He just moves so smooth and grace. It's just like, man, that guy's covering a lot of ground at free safety.
Yeah. You know, your reluctance thing, right? You know, I don't want to discredit that.
Yeah.
He's not that. That's not who he is. He's not going to be, oh, we need him to come down here and take on Kyle Juszczyk and knock him out, right?
Yeah.
I was more of the, and this is where I got to be careful how I phrase these things. I'm more in the, when I see this kind of guy, I start to go, oh, I know what he is, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Will he just make the tackle, right? That's the thing. That's more what I looked at it. Yep. But through the, wait, the guy's coming through the hole. He wasn't like, oh, man, I slipped and he went by me, right? There's not that. Or, like, just getting totally shaken or anything like that.
He's still putting his body in harm's
way. It was there. It's not,
I get that.
It's not, oh, I'm going to knock you out or fuck you up here, right? To your point.
I will put my body in
this
position.
But I will go there and put my shoulder down, and I'm going to get run over. And that's what I meant. That's what I meant by safety, right? To me, that's the free safety. You're saving the day. You got to be able to do that. And that's where I felt like he was, you know, more than enough in that department. But this is a total free safety, coverage safety kind of guy, right? You know, and I liked his open field tackling. That's to me a big thing with when you're talking about free safeties, because a lot of times it's like, oh no, this guy flew out through the B gap in the running game and he is free and it's just me and he's got the whole field and he gets him to the ground, right? So that's kind of the prism of how I looked at him. Change of direction really good. Read and react, again, I like that. You know, best coverage safety in the draft. That's what I wrote.
Wait, even over Cooper DeGene?
Well, I was kind of like, you know, yeah.
He does look the part.
If I had to trust him against man-to-man against somebody, a receiver or something like that, I would trust Kalen Bullock over Cooper DeGene, okay? Yeah. Now, if it's a free safety and it's a tough sweep to the left and I got to have one guy fly down there like a kamikaze and maybe take on a block and make a tackle, I'm taking Cooper DeGene, no doubt about it. Or if I need a guy coming off the edge on second and four and we're playing the Lions and they're going to run the ball, I need a guy down at the end of the line of scrimmage to blitz or be a part of that conversation, I want Cooper DeGene for sure, right, over Kalen Bullock, right.
All right, so that is it. Oh, wait, no, we got to do the – we haven't done this
yet. Yeah, no,
projected
you
didn't do it yet. Mid-third round pick.
Right.
Will he go higher?
I'm going to go higher on this one too. I am. I'm going to go higher.
See those tantalizing cover skills.
I think he's a safe pick in a lot of ways because it's because of the versatility.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're going to go, wait. I mean, yeah, he can do free safety, but damn, we might have something here at corner. Let's see how this goes.
Or if we wanted to put on an extra 10 pounds or something like that and slows him down a little bit. It's not the worst thing ever.
It could be. Exactly right. So that's, you know, again, he could be cool Marcus Williams free safety. He could be Rasul Douglas at corner, right? I mean, it really could be that kind of guy there, and I'll be interested in it. But I liked him. He was a pleasant surprise, and the jerseys are cool, too.
The jerseys do look good.
It's USC. It's top uniform in college football.
So that closes the book on safeties. Let's go to linebackers right now. And we only looked at a handful of these guys. There's no one projected in the first round right now. So let's go with PFT Ghost, who has a question for you.
Okay.
Why does it feel like these two positions, linebacker and safety, often have the least amount of athletic freaks coming out of the draft every year? Does it feel like that to you?
That's funny. That's interesting. Yeah, I think it's just a little all over the place right now.
In some ways, I feel like they're more versatile. It's like the edge guys have one skill that's like, that's awesome. These players have to have
a lot of
things where they're not terrible at.
In coverage, open field tackling, right? You know, that's all part of the game. Now, got to be able to run.
It's a feature, not a bug.
You know, I think, like, what he's probably alluding to is just that our old school freaky linebacker that we think along those lines is not as much of a thing anymore. The Ray Lewis type, the Brian Urlacher type, right? I think that's what maybe he's alluding to. I'm not sure there.
The Ronnie right? Lott, the
just that guy. That yes, right now it's you know, middle linebacker, the best middle linebackers in football. Yeah, are hitters and whatever else, but they're not like maybe those big physical freaks that way, right? Fred Warner, you know, 240. Right, it's small for the old days at linebacker, mm-hmm. but that's what he is. Roquan Smith, same thing. But I think there's a little bit more about speed and explosion at the position more. But you know, safety the last few years, I think he's probably right. We haven't had a ton of freaks there at that position, right? I don't think we have. I mean, I'm trying to think of certain guys, and I think again too, it's a little bit because we don't know what guys are going to be used or how they're viewed, right? Like Xavier McKinney is one of the best safeties in football. You know, it's safety, nickel, slot. What is he? I don't know. He does everything a little bit, right? So it's I think just it's all over the place. The position, right. I guess, is what I would say.
Here are your rankings from last year, where you did a top five. And we got Diane Henley was your number one, Trenton Simpson number two, Jack Campbell was the only one of those, right, that went in the first round.
Yes.
A lot of people thought no linebacker would go in the first round, and Jack Campbell was okay. He was not all – wasn't the greatest last
No, he's
year.
Not my cup of tea, right? He's not that. But he was good. He knows what he's going to do. He's big, he's long, and he moves really well. And I think a lot of the teams are looking at players through – you know, the pass game prism now more than the, oh, I got to get him to fill the A-gap, right? And I think that's how this position's being looked at a little differently.
Ivan Pace Jr., though, your number five, he was not on the boards for many,
many
people out there.
That's one I'm proud of.
Your bowling ball man really came on strong.
He played awesome, right? I mean, he played awesome for the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Flores. So, yeah, that's one I'm proud of. Trenton Simpson is who the hell drafted Trenton Simpson? I'm blanking
so
here.
This is not good
because I just went the
two.
Other day. Wait, did he go to the? He's a Ravens. He's a Ravens. He's part of the reason why they let Patrick Queen go. Right? They're going to go. Wait, Trenton Simpson. He's an athlete. We're going to start grooming him to be the next guy along. You know, Roquan Smith. So that'll be interesting. And then I would think this is the year we see. You know, my number one guy, Deion Henley from Washington State, get on the field there with the Rams a lot more.
All right, so let's get into it this year. We don't have a top five, but we do have higher, lower for the guys that are
but
consensus.
One more
top
thing.
Of the
one board. More thing.
Already a one more thing.
Because like it got me going with like the freaky athletes and linebacker thing. Yeah, you know, I don't know it's interesting in this way. Because, like the Browns, let's look at the top defenses in football.
Okay.
They have Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I mean, you know me, a few years ago, that
top
was one
freak.
Of my favorite, right?
Yeah.
For sure, right? The Jets got C.J. Mosley and Quinnen Williams, right? Quincy Williams, excuse me.
Yep.
They're
freaks.
Both kind of freaky athletes, right? The Chiefs, Nick Bolton, I would say he's freaky for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? The Ravens with Roquan and Patrick Queen from last year, right? That we know, right? The 49ers, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, they had Al Shazier, right? Before that, right? So I think there's maybe more freaky ones out there than we're giving credit, is what
sure.
I'm saying.
Currently.
Yeah,
but
currently.
The draft is not producing them,
right? Hmm. You're right. Well, or, I mean, obviously the draft produced them, but.
Yeah.
The community of the NFL, like with Fred Warner when he came out, I think everybody was like, hey, he's a good athlete, but he's kind of skinny.
Well,
and can he do this type of stuff? So there was questions there.
He was a third rounder
right.
in 2018.
Right.
So maybe good linebackers, good and freaky linebackers are grown in the NFL and not in college.
I think there's some of that to it. You know, again, college football has hurt the middle linebacker position, you know, from the traditional standpoint. Again, the game is just like, oh, screen over there, quarterback run there. I just run to a straight line ever. Then they get in the NFL, and it's like, no, you got to read, like, this play, this guard's pulling, this guy's blocking down. We've taught you keys to look at and what you got to do off of that, and there's a learning curve there.
Is there something, too, if you are in college and the game is so much sideline to sideline and quick screens, like if you had a Fred Warner, what's the most impactful position to play a guy like that in the college game? I mean, would you want to play him at linebacker, or are there?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that's part of the reason too. We're seeing in the NFL right now the linebacker position is just about like athletes again too. Mm-hmm. It's just because of that right there. Like, let's just put him in the middle. He can run down the quarterback. He can run down the running back. And if they throw a screen to the receiver, he can run him down too. Right. That's what they're doing. All right. And you know, maybe that's where it's being misevaluated a little bit. Yeah. It's a hard one to put my finger on, honestly.
Well, and that was one more thing brought to you by Columbo, which is streaming on Peacock, where it's the only place where you can stream all 10 seasons. Only
on
Peacock.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Edgerrin Cooper, yeah. Texas A&M, linebacker, yeah. Projected the first linebacker off the board, but that would be in round two at the 41st overall pick as of right now. So as we switch over to linebackers, the top linebacker out there, 6'2", 230, was a team high in tackles this past year, first team All-American. So he has the accolades, but again, does he have it on film?
He does. I mean, he does. He is what we've kind of been talking about. Incredible athlete that pops right away on the football film, right? I mean, it's long, it's high cut waist, it's great looking legs, right? It's not what you expect for like a traditional linebacker to look like a little bit, right? I think in a lot of ways, like if you turn on the film, you'd go, damn, he just looks like a big safety. Yeah. He looks like some of the guys we just talked about, really, right? But he does have a few more pounds than that, and a little bit more length than that, and he's got a little bit more playing strength than any of the safeties we talk about. Now, again, like you could see right here from his videos of his personal pro day, the athlete is real, right? So you're going to love all that stuff. You know, again, him being able to run down the seam against a tight end or, you know, oh, wait, you know, awesome slot receivers running a route on me in the middle of the field. Oh, he broke this way. Now I got to run with him and tackle him as he catches the ball. He's going to be good at all of that stuff. Sideline to sideline, toss sweeps, all of that. Great, right? The physicality department is going to be where it's all about, right? It's a guy that's I can't sit here and tell you it's incredible play strength. You know, more times than not, I feel like he kind of wants to go around the blocker to get to the ball carrier.
He can find lanes and go untouched, and that's what he's looking for most of the time.
He's really good at that, right? It's again, his ability to kind of bend and weave through and, you know, get to the ball carrier is good. But at the same time, too, that's going to scare the shit out of a lot of defensive coordinators, too, because they're going to be like, I don't know where he's going, and I don't know where to, you know, he had this gap, and he kind of left his gap to go get the tackle, and now the guy's running for a touchdown, right? So those are the things that are going to be, I think, a little scary as far as like maybe if you're looking for a run-stopping middle linebacker in that department, that's where it's different.
That's what you're looking. I think that's the interesting thing about what you're looking for in a prospect is like what are the things that could render all of his good traits, you know, non-existent. It eliminates it all. And his weight is in the 17th percentile. It's the nonagon for Edgerrin Cooper. All his athletic traits are awesome. It's just like, all right, 40-yard dash, 93rd percentile, 10-yard split, 88th percentile.
Right.
But is he a big enough dude where all that other stuff can play on the field, or does he have one glaring weakness that brings it all down?
Yeah, that's where I question, right? I don't know if there's enough physicality and strength for me to sit here and go right away he's an every down NFL linebacker, right? You know, I certainly think he can be that, right? I mean, again, this is a guy that's a physical specimen in a lot of ways, right? Especially with that wingspan. But yeah, this might be, hey, year one, he's only in on third downs, or if a team, you know, has this personnel set in, right? And we're going to work on them to take on blocks and wrong shoulder things and spill the running back over the top of the pulling guard, whatever, right? Those are the things you're going to be worried about. But, you know, you're playing a team that's maybe spread 1 week and all that. Hey, shit, we might start them this week. This might be the week to do it, right? He can kind of, follow the running back. Oh, wait, the running back didn't get the ball. The quarterback's keeping off the edge. He'll be able to run down and get that guy before he makes a lot of yards or do that. That's where he's really good. But I think that's where, you know, at first you're going to have to start kind of through that, you know, type of scope of the football player. Athletic space type of guy. Not like, hey, we're playing the Lions and it's second and four and Montgomery's in and it's three tight ends and now we got to stop ISO right. That's not what you're going to want him in there for.
And Edgerrin Cooper has no more kneecaps anymore. He's like lost in both against the Lions.
Right.
So like if you watch some of his game, like South Carolina game, he's flying around, like dislodging the ball from a ball carrier. Like his highlights look, they look awesome.
They look awesome.
But then sometimes he's flying a little too much and he over-pursues at times. Like it works against him at times.
Right.
Lance
Zierlein. Got to play a little more controlled game that way.
For NFL.com says plays each snap with unbridled passion and intensity for sure. So he is projected as the 41st overall pick, round number two.
I'm going to say lower there too.
So you think he'll go later?
He'll go later.
Later than it the
41st. It won't be much
over.
Later, but I, you know, again, I'm going to say like, 40's a little too high. I would say, you know, we get into the 50 range. I think that's kind of maybe where you start to see Edgerrin Cooper go. That would be my bet.
Get ready, buddy. It says, do you see some edge reps at the next level for Edgerrin Cooper, given his measurables, athleticism, plus blitzing ability? And so he had 7 sacks.
I know.
I did look at him.
Yeah.
And I think he was unblocked in 6 of them.
Yeah, so he was. Thinking... He just gets there with pure speed, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that. We'll see what he is like as at the edge, right? I mean, again, he's an athlete with long arms, great first step, and he does he's bendable and pliable like we talked about, right? Now, you know, again, like we've always talked about, running around the edge in the NFL, you're going against a whole different animal at tackle than any other spot on the football field of power and strength and stuff like that. But, you know, he's got some of the tools there to where I'm sure they'll try it out or give him a little shot in preseason and training camp and see what he looks like. And, hey, could he be a thing, hey, in year one when we go, hey, it's 3rd and 12, we want to get 4, 5, 6 great athletes on, and one time he's playing DN, and now we moved our DN into the D-tackle, right? And now we got kind of 4 freaks that are athletic and long rushing the passer. Certainly could see that being a part of his, you know, versatility or arsenal in year one.
If you're a defensive coordinator, a fun tool to have in your toolkit for sure.
He's got a body and I saw Zierlein wrote like Devin Lloyd, right? The kid that got drafted a middle linebacker from Utah a few years ago. It's that type of body and athleticism, except it's just not the physicality of that's why Devin Lloyd was a 24th pick of the draft or whatever, because he had a lot of these things we're talking about with this guy, yet you were like, when they run it up the middle, he fucking stops people, right? He brings it, right? And that's where he became a top pick. The things we talked about as negatives are gonna scare some of these D coordinators out there.
So Cooper is fast.
Yes.
But not as fast as Peyton Wilson. Whoa. NC State turns 24 on Sunday, so an older prospect here. Was the Chuck Bednarik Award winner for the nation's top defender in 2013 and the Buckus Award winner for the nation's top linebacker. He's got all the trophies in his trophy case. And his 40-yard dash at the combine, 4.43. That was better than 16 wide receivers at the combine, including Rome Odunze, who you have as a top wide receiver in this draft. So he has a very interesting chart. And Tomas Pena says to you, Peyton Wilson might not be your LB1, but I'm sure you're going to love his style, good size, speed, instincts, plays with no regard for his life. Does Thomas Penna know you? Do you like Peyton Wilson?
He does know me pretty well.
He does know
you. He is a regular homie.
Does he know you on your love of Peyton Wilson?
No, he does not.
Oh.
Because, like, I want to go to Tomas. It's just go, like, Tomas, you know me. And when it comes to middle linebackers, I'm a little bit more of the kamikaze killer type, right? And that, to me, is not what Peyton Wilson is.
He plays with regard for his life, unfortunately. He values his life.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I know you're watching a few things and seeing that, too. I mean, are you seeing that, too?
So,
right? From
novice
things
film,
you saw?
Thank you for deferring to novice film watcher,
guys.
First line, I go, does not play very big and strong. Notre Dame had him in a blender. He was blocked pretty easily, and it did not take any of the NDOLs, did not take on any of the Notre Dame offensive line and tight ends.
You said it right. I mean, that kind of stands true to all the games. It's all the same things. It's a little bit of all what we're talking about, you know, what we just talked about with Cooper, except I think it's even to a bigger extent here, right? I'm even less impressed with his physicality as compared to Cooper, let alone I don't know if I necessarily even love his measurables as much as Cooper. I don't. You know, I think Cooper is more explosive, more athletic. He's longer, right? I think he has more strength than Peyton Wilson. As much as I didn't like Cooper getting off blocks, taking on blocks, I'd go, he's better than Peyton Wilson at doing it. That's what it would bother me, right? You know, I feel a little bit like this is the same way I felt with, I always forget his name, the Arkansas linebacker last year. Was it Drew Sanders, right? Am I?
I think so.
Then the Broncos took him, right? I want to say that's what it was, but I know it's Sanders. I just can't remember. Yeah, but I felt the same way where it's like, hey, everybody's in love with the athlete, and I know he moves well and he can run, but, you know, I don't trust him with David Montgomery up the middle on 3rd-and-2. I don't. Nor do I trust him, you know, with anybody blocking him. He has a hard time getting off blocks. He gets moved off of blocks, right? He doesn't really deliver blows as a tackler or as somebody that takes on blocks in that department, right? And I'm not in love with his body, right? You know, the other guy I know is not real big either, but he's long and has levers and has better play strength. This is a guy that, I mean, almost instantly I was like, is he thick and strong enough to even play linebacker in the NFL? That's what I wondered. So, you know, again, I like the speed. I got all that. I also, honestly, and at the end of this, started to write, can he play safety? Could he be more of like a Kyle Duggar type of like safety linebacker type of hybrid?
One of the taller linebackers,
yes.
But in the 26th percentile for weight, arms short, hand size short. But all those athletic traits, which is funny because you watch him in pass coverage too, and you're like, I don't necessarily see the 40-yard dash.
Definitely
show
not.
Up there.
Definitely.
I think he has a little bit harder time changing directions. It almost seems like
he's not
going.
The bendable, pliable guy we just talked about with Cooper, who you just felt like he can get going fast, and no matter what direction he's in or wherever his body positioning is, right? Yeah, I think, you know, all those things concern me about him a little bit. And he's just not my type of linebacker, right? I know I'm a little old school here, and I know there's value for these type of guys. And again, he does have speed. He is a good athlete. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I think you know me well enough now to know that when it comes to this position, again, you know, my defense would never have guys like this playing linebacker. They just wouldn't. I would more err on, like, this guy might mess up, but he's going to knock your head off messing up, right? I'm more of that guy. That's what I believe in. That's kind of what I grew up in. And it's what I was around in the NFL, too, honestly. So that's why I believe in it. Like, you know, Derek Brooks of the world and Ryan Neese, who I played with, and Keith Bullock of the Tennessee Titans, right? Those are those type of guys. You know, that's just kind of, you know, my thought on that position.
And no shame in having those Notre Dame offensive linemen and tight ends be able to handle you. I mean, they were pretty
good
this past year. But
right.
I looked at his game against Marshall, too, and they locked him up quite a bit.
He's locked up with a lot of people. Exactly right.
And he has an injury history, too, unfortunately. Not to crap on Peyton Wilson Day. I don't want to make that today. But he has a torn ACL in 2017, another knee injury in 2018, and had season-ending shoulder injury in the second game of the 2022 season.
Listen,
so
I didn't even know any of this until I was reading to watch the film, right? And when I saw that, I went, wait, and people are still putting him in the second round for the draft? Like, those four lines you just said are knocking him down two rounds. Like, I would say at least. Yeah, we want a middle linebacker that's got an injury history and his shoulders don't handle contact. Right. And he's got an ACL injury. And also, he's not really that big and thick anyways.
Yeah. Right? And the lack of physicality could be partly because he's like, dang, I don't want to
get
hurt again.
I don't hurt my shoulder or my knee again.
100% reasonable.
Exactly right.
Projected round two pick, 53rd
I know.
Overall.
Well,
so
you
you're
know
going,
where.
Yes, yeah. You're going higher.
Yeah, or lower.
Lower. Our own exercise. I am confused by our own exercise.
Yeah, it's
lower, later.
Lower, later.
Lower, later.
I'm going to say it ends up being like fourth round. Right, that's what I would say. Like early fourth is where you start to see him go there. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see where it goes.
Our next guy is from the University of Michigan, Junior Colston. He's a projected round two pick as well, 6'2", almost 240, 21 years old. So he was adopted as a young. He's got a really cool story, and you heard Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh loved this guy.
Yeah.
The first thing I saw in America was a Michigan hat, he said, when he was nine. That's what all of my family members were wearing. They're big Michigan fans, and so a tragic upbringing that brought him there to Tennessee and then Michigan, born in Haiti. And so he's got a really cool backstory. He was a four-star recruit, and then this past year had a team-high 95 tackles for the national champion Wolverines, started all 15 games for Michigan as well. So we have a photo, too, here, I think, of Junior Colston in the national championship game with Cass on both of his hands. So it's like this is a guy who just played with injury, played through pain. You see Washington in the background there. It's just like he can barely point his finger. I think he had his cast made so that he could give someone that, hey, how's it going? Good job, buddy, over there. Junior Colston, all-around tough guy. You have reached your Junior Colston printout in your notes. All right, enough filibustering by me.
Good job.
What'd you think of Junior?
I really like Junior. Junior's my cup of tea when we talk about middle linebacker. Is it perfect? No. Okay. But it's damn good and more along the lines of, like, the things we've talked about, right? I mean, got a great body, got a great build. There's a thickness there that leads you to believe right away as you watch the film to go, wait, he looks like a guy that should hit some people and do that, right? So that's, like, right away has a look and a body type that I'm more in belief in, right? Now, you know, like, where there's areas to grow, could he be a little more instinctive sometimes? And can he get off blocks a little bit better? Okay, sure. Right? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But damn, still, I look at it and go, he's made to play middle linebacker in the NFL. He's plenty athletic, right? I know he didn't do the combine or any of the testing there, but I would guess 4.5-ish type of speed. Maybe 4.55, 4.56, right? But he's comfortable in these areas right here. I mean, he brings it. He takes on blockers, right? He's not afraid to square up people in the hole and make tackles that way, right? I think he's got to, you know, just continue to play some football and, you know, become a little hair more instinctive of, like, there are a few plays where I want to go, like, oh, I wish his read and react skills were just a hair faster. Like, hey, the hole's there. Get up in there in the hole. Why are you kind of still sitting there like, hey, I'm going to wait a second, right? There's some of that. But I think all in all, like, again, this would be the guy I would trust a middle linebacker more than compared to the other guys we talked about, right? Plenty athletic in the pass game. You know, yeah, he's not as good as Cooper from Texas A&M in that department. But, like, to your point with the NC State kid, I'd go, you know, the NC State kid, yeah, he's fast straight away. But like you said, like, moving and coverage and all that, it wasn't that great. I would go, I feel like almost every bit as good with Colson, let alone I trust him way more in the traditional run game sense compared to the other guy. And that's where, yeah, I kind of find Colson as being my favorite linebacker I watched.
Yeah, and you told me that before I watched him, so it probably colored the way I saw Junior Colson as well as my love of the University of Michigan. But, his negatively graded run plays are mainly getting, you know, caught misdirection and getting caught up in the mess
there. Caught in the mix.
He does have the strength, it looks like. And there's one play in particular in the semifinal game against Alabama. It's him and Caden Proctor, who's 6'7" and 355 pounds. He kind of just stands him up with one arm, does not lose his balance, holds him off long enough.
Yeah.
And then makes a tackle on the ball carrier. Then I'm like, dang, that's a strong.
I think his
dude.
Is just like, you know, it's more like you said the background and all that. I think it's a little bit more of just like he's just got to keep playing and get used to the game, right? I don't see physical issues with this game. You know, like you said, like I wish, hey, he could get off blocks a little bit better. Wish he could feel the play a little bit better. That, to me, was more of the, you know, the complaints I had. I was never like, ah, oh, I wish he would have hit this guy harder. Oh, I wish he would have took on the blocker, right? Man, he kind of looked like he didn't really want to square up that ball carrier and tackle him there, right? None of that. None of that. It was, you know, all those type of things that we talked about where I want to be like, wait, there's the hole. Go get it. Or you see the guard pulling. You know they're going there. Get over there.
Yeah.
Why are you still kind of hopping in place going, let me make sure the running back follows them, right? There's just that. But that to me is polished coaching and you know, I don't think you start from middle linebacker at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh as your coach unless you got the core principles for that staff to be that guy. So, yeah, I like him the most out of all the linebackers I watch.
And to your point about in the passing game, it did look like if you caught one underneath on Junior Colson, you were probably going to get tackled.
You're going to get hit.
Yeah.
He's going to drive on it, and he's going to bring you down. And he's a pretty good open field tackler.
Agreed.
You know, and then you even see plays where, okay, yeah, he's in the middle, and now, oh, he's responsible for a guy running a deep cross, right? He's kind of playing zone, but it's like a match zone. So now he's got to kind of turn and run and get over there. I think he's very good in those departments, right? So to me, he's the only linebacker I watched, and I think I only watched like 10 of them, that I went, like, he can do everything on an NFL field. We don't have to worry about what the down, the distance, the personnel set, or anything like that. He's going to be fine, and I think that's the beauty in Junior Colson.
Projected round two, 57th overall.
Ooh, so I'm going to go over. I'm going to go higher.
Earlier.
I'm
so going higher. Go earlier than that.
I am. I think he's the only guy that the NFL teams are going to look at and go, wait. He's for sure a good middle linebacker on first, second, and third down, right? Boom. That's it. And I think they go from there. And, yeah, I expect him to be the first linebacker off the board.
Okay, so he's your favorite of the linebackers.
Right.
There are some people that have Jeremiah Trotter as their favorite linebacker. Mm-hmm. Clemson projected round three pick now in mock drafts. I think that's fallen a little bit. Oh, yeah, it has. He was a top 40 projected pick back in December. 6 foot. 228 pounds, 21 years old, from Haynesport Township, New Jersey. So you have to, no matter what his tape showed, you
number
have to like
one
him.
Player in the draft.
Son of, you'll never guess this, Jeremiah Trotter, 11 right. seasons in the NFL, member of the Eagles Hall of Fame. We have, here we go.
Here's, what a great picture.
Wow, there's Jeremiah Jr. on the right.
Yep, there's Big Jeremiah, Dad.
Senior.
You could see.
Oh, and there's
Dad is a big dude, right? Dad is like, you know, middle linebacker that had to step on a scale on Friday in the NFL locker room because we had to make sure he wasn't 280 pounds for the game that weekend, right?
Yes.
He was one of those guys that I'm going to say middle linebacker. You know, I don't know what he was listed at, Pete. Maybe you could look it up, but I'm going to guess he was like 268, right? Back to our conversation of what linebackers used to look like in the old days.
We have a comparison, right? Do we have that?
Do we? Between,
oh, is that just the graphic of their measurements? Oh, here it is. Oh, nice. Good job back there, Gabby, I assume, and Nicole.
Oh, there we go. There it is.
So here's senior and junior. So, yeah, senior was 261. Same height, basically. Senior was 261. He's 228.
Yes. Longer arm senior had, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, senior is what we talked about at the start. He's a thumper, right? That's what he was. You felt good. You were like, wait, we're playing the most powerful run team in the history of football. Oh, we got Jeremiah Trotter at middle linebacker? That's cool. That's good. We'll be okay. I mean, Gruden used to literally say, I just feel better getting off the bus with Jeremiah Trotter. That's what he used to say, right? He didn't even really play for us. He didn't. He was older in his career and all that, right? And I was going through my spleen rehab and all that, but he used to make me chuckle with that because, you know, he looks the part of the middle linebacker.
So do you feel better getting off the bus with Jeremiah Trotter Jr.?
Not necessarily, right? You know, one, you know me, I'm not usually a lover of the smaller type of linebacker, right? Mm-hmm. That would be the first thing I would say. And I just, you know, again, there's some instincts there that you like about his game, definitely. But I think it all goes back to the physical attributes and it just not being enough there for where I see people saying he might get drafted, right? That would be the biggest problem. The athlete himself is just less than, right? For being 6 foot 228, I mean, I don't know. Again, I know you're new to this film watching stuff.
But
I would have guessed, like, he runs, like, high 4.6s is what I would have guessed on film. Maybe 4.7 is right, really, like, I wrote down. I wrote So, yeah, does not, you know. And then I think when you couple that with, like, wait, it's not a great athlete, and then he's not all that physical either, right? Again, can read plays, can be instinctive, can react well at times, but taking on blocks, stopping ball carriers in their tracks and in the hole and you know, hey, he stopped right there. No, that's not what he's going to be great at, right? He does have a problem getting off blocks. He's not great as far as in coverage and change of direction ability, and you can see in open field tackling too. It's a little less than in that department as well, right? So, yeah, that's where I kind of come to it with Jeremiah Trotter and go, yeah, I don't look at it as like a we're going to be talking about him on the second day of the draft type of football player. It feels like it's Clemson and the name have maybe propped him up in the eyes of the scouting world a little bit.
So if you just watched him as a pass rusher against Notre Dame, you'd be like, man, that guy's great. He had 3 sacks, showed some good agility and dodging some blocks there. But outside of that, wasn't really a big factor in the run game in that game.
No.
Was around plays, but not really involved in plays
right.
in the
run game.
Right,
gets to a lot of plays where you go, oh, he saw that play coming, but then you go, well, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he got there, but he didn't make the tackle, or, you know, he was blocked out of the way or whatever else, and that's where it's just like, I wish he would have got in there a little bit. I wish he would have stopped that blocker. I wish he would have made the tackle in the hole right there. Yeah. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. What no. other thoughts you had there?
To your point, same thing that you said. When targeted in the pass game, gave up a lot of completions and was not great at open field tacklings, and you question the speed in those situations.
I don't think we're saying, or you know, anybody that's watched him, I don't think would have many differences there. I think it's pretty apparent. I think that's probably part of the reason you said, well, he seems to be falling a little bit or whatever.
He was a top 40 pick in December, and now he is projected round 3. So I'll give you the over-under at mid-third-round pick.
I'm going lower there.
You think he would go later?
Yeah, he's going later in the draft, you know.
Because it does seem like the bust potential, unfortunately, is
I hear
somewhat
you.
High.
There's not anything to look at right now to go, ooh, right? I think there's something you can unlock or bring to the table here, right? And we'll see. Maybe he can make those adjustments as he gets into the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, not real big, not real explosive, not real physical is not, you know, second or third round material, in my opinion, when it comes to the linebacker position.
All right, and that is it. Those are the linebackers we're going to look at, and it's Booyah. A big day. It's a big day because you are done looking at dudes for a while.
Yes.
And we're also 100 days to the Olympic Summer
Whoa.
Games. We are 100 days out from the Paris Olympics. The countdown is on. You can tune in this summer. NBC and Peacock is where you can watch the Olympics, in case you didn't know, to see the greatest athletes in the world go for gold in the City of Light. So it's going to be a huge deal. We were talking about it before the podcast here.
Yes.
With Matt Casey,
we're having
will be involved.
Paris, France Day here in the office. We got French flags everywhere, and we're celebrating the 100th day
dessert
to the 100th day to the, like, you know, again, this company, NBC, Olympics, the work that goes in, the stress that guys and people put into it in this building is incredible. It really is. And you are, I mean, you're lucky. You're big time.
You are stressed out most of the year. You get to relax during this time, right?
I am.
During the Olympics time.
Yeah.
And I will be stressed out. Yeah, I'll be.
You'll be in Paris, France.
I'll be going there.
Though,
that's
so
the plan right
yourself.
Now.
You're going to be there enjoying yourself.
It could always change, though.
Right.
It could always change. They could say, Amin, we'd actually rather have you not go.
I think you should demand right now that we do a podcast from Paris, France.
I think that, how awesome would that be?
I think you should be like, we have a calling. We need to do one from the Eiffel Tower. Can you get that
you
done?
You took me to Vegas for like a day just to be out there.
Yeah, we could do that.
Debated our fourth down Detroit Lions calls.
We've expanded into the UK.
Yes.
We got a good following there between this, Chris Sims on Button and PFT.
Yes.
You know, we might have to get over to Paris now.
We go to Paris, and then we go to Brazil and do a live show there in anticipation of our Peacock game.
Damn,
let's
I like
this show
it.
International.
Let's be world travelers.
Let's get platinum level on Delta for
baby.
Next year.
I like it.
You've done it. You've done it, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
But we're not done with draft content.
No.
There's an actual draft to still go
Is there? I didn't know. Yep. We'll be, you know what we're going to do. We're going to continue to stay on top of this. We got Monday. We're going 2024 mock draft, right? Yep. So I'll hit that up.
I will not be here for that.
What?
That's going to I know.
Are you going to Paris or something?
I'm not going to I'm going to Oregon, actually.
Are you?
Hang out with their spring
guys.
Damn.
Okay.
Big Ten crew.
Just leave your job just to go hang out with people.
Well,
cool,
I heard
no problem.
When Connor was on, I was like, all right, I got to listen to this to hear what they talk about. And it's just like a bash session on Ahmed off the beginning.
You heard it?
And so I was like,
waiting.
I
it took so long for you to say something.
I actually had forgotten about it until just now.
Right.
And so I was like, screw it. I'm not coming the next Monday either.
Yeah, good. You're going to Oregon.
Yeah.
Yep, but we'll continue down that. Mock draft Monday. Wednesday, final draft. Ask me anything. Hopefully you'll be here with that.
I will be here for
that. We'll have Jake Croucher on, who is Mr., you know, Batman.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to He'll get us all over the draft props and probably scare me with some weird name he says with his accent. And I'm like, I haven't watched that guy. Right? Remember that? Cody Mark.
Your life flashed before your eyes. You're like, I've never even looked at this guy. He could go in the first round.
I still remember how my heart was pumping. I was like, I missed somebody. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this.
Yeah, late riser.
Who is that player?
Late riser.
Oh, you're from Australia. I can't understand what you're saying.
Did Cody Mark end up going in the first round?
No. Early second.
That was all for naught.
Yeah,
even.
It was. But yeah, we'll be back, and then I think we got Thursday in the barn, baby.
Oh my gosh!
Here we go.
A lot of people are asking about that.
All right, good. I'm excited to do it.
I'm really excited.
I know we're gonna have fun, and hopefully we'll get one drink into you this year.
I will definitely do one drink. Now I do have to go back home afterwards, but the draft is like 3 hours.
Yeah,
and so I'll have time, you know, an early drink. Maybe I will do an Uber.
Yeah. I'll pay for your Uber.
Okay. Chris will pay for my Uber.
Gotcha.
Yeah. There we go.
You'll be slaughtered by pick 22.
You'll know if I got an Uber or
Lions.
Pick 29.
Yeah,
I mean,
you'll be really slaughtered. I know. No chance.
I have this feeling, too, the Lions are going to trade out of the first round. It's like the draft is there in Detroit. It's like everyone's going to be anticipating it, and they're going to trade out.
That would stink. I know. I hope they don't do that. I hope not. But all right, guys, you know where to find us. Keep sending in all the good questions, thoughts, whatever. We'll try to address as many as possible. Subscribe, rate, and review. You know where to find us. Everybody be good out there. Have a great weekend. Okay, no major sports really going on this weekend, so enjoy yourselves because we got a full week of NFL draft next week. All right, so everybody be good. Peace out, everybody. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.